Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Hajj Step by Step. We hope on this program to give you a very detailed look and description of every single aspect of Hajj, inshallah, to make your journey very easy and successful, and inshallah, to make an acceptable Hajj before Allah. I'm Musa McGuire, and our guide for Hajj on this program is Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
On the last program, we were discussing ihram and the preparations for ihram. We got to the point of when pronouncing the talbiyah or the intention for ihram on the plane or on the ride when you reach the appropriate places. Now, there's another issue that comes up. Some say that there should be 2 rakats of salah offered before ihram or during ihram. What's exactly the ruling on this practice?
Well, actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Praise be to Allah, we praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. And may peace and blessings be upon our last messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam assumed the intention of ihram after he prayed. So the ulama concluded from that, it's recommended to make your intention of ihram and the talbiyah after a prayer, whether it's a fard or a nafl. It's a mandatory prayer or a voluntary one. So if a person happens to be praying zuhr or a sunnah, any sunnah, then announces the intention of al-ihram afterward, that's fine. But actually there is no specific sunnah before ihram, so you don't have to make a special effort to offer 2 rak'ahs before ihram. And this is an issue of dispute between the ulama. And you might find in many books that you have to pray 2 rak'ahs before making the intention of ihram, which you don't have to.
Let me ask you, Sheikh, after making ihram and beginning hajj, we know about the talbiyah of hajj. Should this be started right away? And how often should it be recited during the whole process?
Actually, al-niyyah, the intention of ihram, is always accompanied by a talbiyah. So if a person is performing umrah, would say, labbayka Allahumma bi umrah. Then right away, we'll start making the talbiyah. A talbiyah means answering the call of Allah to perform either hajj or umrah. So when a person says, labbayka Allahumma labbayk, here I come to you, O Allah, responding to your call. Labbayka la sharika laka labbayk. Here I come to you, there is no partner to you. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ. Indeed, all the praise, the favor, and the dominion belong to you. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. No partner to you. It is once again a chantation which announces the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminds ourselves with His favors upon us. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. One who is performing Hajj would feel that the entire globe is making talbiyah around him. And this is actually what the Prophet ﷺ said. When a person is making talbiyah, everything to his right hand is making talbiyah as well. Stones, trees, until it turns around the entire globe. So all the pilgrims having everything around them, joining them in praising Allah the Almighty and thanking Him. The Prophet ﷺ in one hadith said that the best hajj is al-'ajj al-thajj, which refers to raising the voice with at-talbiyah, so that a person, a male pilgrim, would say at-talbiyah out loud so that everything around him would hear. He doesn't have to scream out loud in a way that he would demonstrate his response to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite will be with a woman, that she would say it in a way that she would only hear herself. A woman should not raise her voice as much as a man should not be heard by other men.
Sheikh, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's go back to some of the issues dealing with ihram itself, as this is such an important and foundational element to Hajj. What about the restrictions? What once we enter the state of ihram, we've made the tawbiyah, what are the restrictions now?
When a person says, now, ana muhrim, I'm in a state of ihram, once he assumes the intention on the plane, from the appointed places of ihram, he enters and commences on a state of sacredness. There are certain acts which we used to do before that, it was permissible. But now in a state of ihram, they have become restricted. And no one should violate if he or she is a muhrim. Number one is al-jima' and its introductions, which is approaching one's spouse sexually or anything that leads to it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٌ فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Whoever assumes the intention of making Hajj and commence an ihram should avoid al-rafath, which refers to sexual activities, sexual intercourse, al-jima'. Al-fusuq, sins, and any evil talk and any unnecessary vain conversation. ولا جدال, nor an argument in the state of ihram. So a person should not approach his wife while he is in the state of ihram. Same thing with the wife. What if that happens? It depends. If they fall into a complete sexual intercourse, they have actually violated a great restriction and void their entire Hajj. So the Hajj of that person in the state of ihram is void completely. However, he or she, both of course the spouses, have to go on and complete all the rites of the Hajj during that season and this year, even though the Hajj is void. And the penalty is very great, that they have to offer a sacrifice, which is a badana. This is a camel at least 5 years old and older. The scholar said that if the wife agreed with the husband in this practice, she too have to offer a sacrifice, a penalty of a badana, a camel 5 years old or older. And this Hajj, whether it is mandatory or was voluntary, they still owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another Hajj to be done next year or whenever they can do it. Even if it was a voluntary Hajj, you see that the penalty is very, very severe. Because when one is in a state of ihram, should keep in mind that this is a sacred condition.
Sheikh, this is obviously a very severe penalty for a severe offense. But we've talked about some of the other issues that are requirements. For instance, the appointed places and times of entering ihram. If someone doesn't do it at the appointed time, is it the same level of penalty that they're going to face if they don't put on the garments appropriately or don't make the intention?
No, actually, these are two different cases. The case you just mentioned is related to things to be done mandatorily before ihram and during the pronunciation of the ihram intention. That we agreed that the Prophet ﷺ appointed certain places that if you're passing through them or in line with them, there and only there you get to say labbaik allahumma labbaik, labbaik bi umrah or labbaik bi hajj. If a person happens, as many people assume that Jeddah airport is a place of assuming the intention of ihram, they have violated a wajib, a part of the pillar of hajj, which is ihram. A wajib is to pronounce the intention or talbiyah at the appointed place. So if they did not do so and they waited until they passed al-miqat, in this case, they have to do one of two things. Either go back to al-miqat and make the intention from there and make the talbiyah from there. And of course, to many people, especially who came via air, it's almost impossible. So the only way is the penalty, which is to slaughter a sheep in Mecca to be distributed amongst the poor. There is a very important notice here I would like to mention, which is the difference between the penalty and the sacrifice. Al-Hajj is a sacrifice which a pilgrim would offer by the end of the conclusion of their Hajj. This Hajj is similar to Al-Udhiyah, that you may eat of it, give gifts to your friends and relatives, and distribute upon the poor as well. But in case of the penalty, it has to be slaughtered in Mecca, and it has to be distributed amongst the poor people of Mecca, and you're not allowed to taste a bite of it, because that's a penalty. And this is a ransom you're giving or paying for a violation that you've committed. If a person happens to be visiting the city of the Prophet ﷺ before the performance of Hajj, before the actual Hajj going to Mecca and so on, in this case, they may keep their clothes on, and of course they go to Al-Madinah with their regular condition, everyday clothes, and there, while coming back from Al-Madinah, they will be treated as the people who do well in Al-Madinah. So they will assume the intention of Al-Ihram from the appointed place of Al-Madinah people, which is Dhul Hulayfa, or it is known nowadays as Abyar Ali.
Sheikh, I want to get back to this issue of jima'ah, or the sexual relations between the spouses during the time of Ihram, because it carries such a serious penalty. What about when someone is combining the Hajj, or separating the Umrah and the Hajj, and exits Ihram? Is this permissible at that time?
You see, that's why Allah gave us an ease while performing Hajj and Umrah. And that's why it's recommended to choose Hajj al-Tamattu', where you perform the Umrah, and once you're done with your Umrah rites, you shave or you trim your hair, then you're free. A person may embrace his wife and have all the marital relationship they want to have, as long as they're in a state of tahallul, they exited already from Ihram. And that will continue until the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, where they would assume a new intention for the performance of Hajj.
Sheikh, there are plenty of issues left to deal with concerning Ihram, but we need to take a short break. So please stay with us, and we'll be back in just a minute, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to Hajj Step by Step. Before the break, we were talking about some of the restrictions of Ihram. Now, concerning the major acts of marital relations that can really invalidate the whole Hajj, does the same apply to just, you know, small intimacies between the spouses?
Well, the word rafath refers to the sexual contact and its introductions. But the penalty differs by the meaning if there was a complete sexual intercourse. All what we mentioned applies here, so that the Hajj is void, they have to perform another Hajj, the penalty applies, and they have to ask for forgiveness, etc. But in case that there was just some, you know, touching, hugging, kissing, etc., without having an actual intercourse, it's a sin. It's a big sin. But they may go on in their Hajj will be valid, but they have to offer a penalty, which is slaughtering a sheep, will be treated as any penalty we discussed before, to be slaughtered in Mecca and to be distributed amongst the poor of Mecca, and they cannot taste it.
Well, what if somebody is saving the occasion of Hajj to perform another very happy occasion, which is marriage? Of course, when people get married, they want to have relations right away. Is there any exception for this, or is there any specific rule about marriage during the time of Hajj?
Actually, no wonder that whenever we were taught that during Ihram that a person may not get engaged or engage others or get involved in any marriage contract by any means, one would wonder who would think or care about that. But actually, a lot of people save this happy occasion to be done during the performance of Hajj or Umrah. Yet, if a person is in a state of ihram, he may not engage, get engaged, or seek or be sought for, should not be involved in any activities of engagement, marriage, or marriage contract at all. And if this happened, the scholars say that this marriage contract which took place during the state of Ihram is invalid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that لا ينكح المحرم ولا يخطب ولا ينكح. A person who is in a state of Ihram should not get married, even having the marriage contract or the engagement or being sought for.
Well, Shaykh, we now have a short video that we're going to show showing some of the other prohibitions during the state of Ihram. So if perhaps you could just explain some of them, and then when we're done, we'll go into a little more detail.
Well, as we see that of the restrictions, cutting, shaving, or removing any hair of the body of the muhrim that applies for a man or a woman, clipping the nails, these are all restricted acts, wearing fragrance by any mean, whether applied to the body or to the ihram clothes, and that applies to both, hunting or targeting or scaring an animal during the state of ihram, breaking a tree or removing a branch, and the last two issues, hunting and breaking the trees in Mecca, and the third one, which is picking up lost items, are prohibited during all times. That's not only limited during the state of Ihram, but once you are in the boundaries of Mecca, the sacred city, you cannot scare, you cannot hunt an animal, you're not allowed to break a tree or cut grass, or you're not allowed to pick up any lost items, except if you're picking them up for clarification and to announce to the public that somebody lost their property. So if you're taking them to turn them to the authorities, that's valid, but you're not allowed to take the lost items and even give it in a charity. As we see that it's prohibited during Ihram for the Muhrim to cover his head. Of course, that's for a man. Covering the head by wearing a kufi, a cap, or by the Ihram clothes is prohibited. While holding an umbrella or staying in a tent is permissible during the state of Ihram. As we see in this picture that if you are in a state of Ihram, you're not allowed to wear any stitched clothes. All your clothes have to be seamless. Of course, that is the Ihram clothes, the Izar and Al-Ihram. As we see in the picture that somebody is wearing the shoes which are covering his ankles, that's too restricted during the state of Ihram. Rather, the Muhrim would wear a pair of sandals. That applies only to men. But as we discussed before, for women, they may wear whatever they wish of their daily regular clothes.
Well, what are some of the penalties for these acts if they do by any chance happen? For instance, if someone decides to go hunting or commits any other of these acts, do they have the same penalties or do the penalties vary?
Well, not necessarily somebody would go hunting. If somebody hit an animal, a deer, by his car, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran stated very clearly, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ سورة المائدة. O you who believe, do not hunt or kill an animal while you are in a state of ihram. وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعَمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ هَدِيًا بَالِغَ الْكَعْبَةِ. And whoever does so, hunt during the state of ihram, then we would assign two just judges from amongst ourselves who would evaluate the value of that animal which has been hit or hunted, and they would judge with a similar animal of domestic animals of equivalent value. That animal will be slaughtered and distributed in Mecca amongst the poor. In case that a person has to wear regular clothes or has to shave or clip the nails, as for instance, we're having a very strong reference, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ by the name Ka'b ibn Ujrah, may Allah be pleased with him. This companion was infected with lice in his hair. The Quran says, وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّهُ. And you should not shave your head until the sacrifice or the offering has been sacrificed. And that's after the day of Arafah, on the Eid day. But before, while you are still in a state of Ihram, you're not allowed to shave any hair from your body, whether it's your head hair, mustache, beard, or any hair on your body. And that applies for both men and women. So when he appeared before the Prophet ﷺ in this condition, and actually lice was walking on his forehead, the Prophet ﷺ made a remark and he said that, I didn't know that it was hurting you that much. Do you have a sheep? He said, no. He said, go ahead and shave. Okay. And fast for 3 days, feed 6 masakin, or fast for 3 days. So the ulama concluded from that, and there is a Quranic reference to that, that فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ بِهِ أَذًى مِنْ رَأْسِهِ فَفِدْيَةٌ مِنْ صِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ. So the person in the state of ihram, upon having to shave for any reason, would be given the choice to offer which penalty he can afford. If he can afford to pay to buy a sheep and slaughter it, that's fine. If he would like, he can just feed 6 masakin of al-haram by giving each one of them have sa' and a size equal to 1.5 kilogram of dates, raisin, or any average food that the people consume in the area. Or fast for 3 days if a person has to clip nails or shave the hair. What if a person does any of those violations of shaving, removing hair, clipping nails, or wearing a kufi, or wearing the regular clothes, stitched clothes, unknowingly, or out of forgetfulness? In this case, he only owes asking for forgiveness and immediately had to change that mistake by taking off the cap if he's wearing a cap, or taking off his regular clothes and putting on the ihram clothes back, changing the mistake and asking for forgiveness without any penalty, simply because that person did that while forgetting or unknown.
You know, Hajj these days is in the winter months, and I don't personally know how cold it gets in Mecca during the winter months, but say it becomes very cold, does the situation of wearing extra clothing, is it like the situation of being sick and having a necessity? Is the same rule apply?
You see, if a person wears a blanket, it's not considered as regular clothes because it was not made to fit. So a person may cast a blanket on top of his shoulders. But if he wears regular clothes, in this case, the penalty of shaving will be applicable there as well.
Okay. And Sheikh, we talked about a lot of the prohibitions, but sometimes people maybe take it a little bit too far. They start imagining that everything is prohibited. What are some of the things that are permissible in a state of ihram, especially those things that people may be confused about?
I'm very glad you raised this question and this issue, because unfortunately sometimes we see pilgrims performing tawaf in dirty ihram clothes. Then you wonder, ihram clothes are very cheap, so why you're wearing dirty clothes? Some people are under the impression that once you commence on a state of ihram, you're not allowed to change your ihram clothes. Nor are you allowed to take a shower or a bath. You're not allowed even to wash your clothes. This is totally wrong, and this is a great misunderstanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and He likes beauty. If a person is in a state of ihram, he may take a shower, take a bath whenever it's needed to clean up themselves. Just avoid using and applying any fragrance to the body or to their clothes. Can a person change their ihram clothes? Perfectly fine. They may change their ihram clothes as they wish, and it's not restricted at all. People ask about wearing a belt around their waist, which has a wallet to preserve and protect their valuables and so on. It is permissible and it is allowed. However, I do not advise any person to carry their valuables in that belt, because it's like inviting, saying that I have valuables here. Rather, always upon performing the masha'ir and the manasik, especially the tawaf, you don't need to take any valuables with you. Leave all your valuables at your hotel room or with somebody, so that you can have clear mind while performing those acts of worship. We've talked about it is prohibited to wear anything that covers the head for men. You see, some people, they panic and they're very excessive in that regard. So that you see, people do not ride in buses which have roofs, because they assume that that's a roof, and it's like wearing a cap or a hat, and it's one of the restrictions of ihram. This is wrong. we're talking about an object which would make a direct contact with your head, such as your ihram, a blanket, or a kufi, or a cap. But the umbrella, your tent, your room, the bus, is all fine. No problem with that.
Sheikh, let me ask one more thing. We're almost out of time. We know that it's a very sacred state to be in ihram. What about committing sins during this time? Are sins considered worse during this time if people are backbiting or speaking coarsely or doing any of the other things that we would consider sins outside of ihram?
No one who's going for hajj can afford messing up their hajj by just talking about others, backbiting, vain talk, making lies. Why? You will spend a lot of money and you're making a lot of effort for one reason, hoping that Allah would accept this act of worship from you and will forgive you all your past sins. It's a sacred place and sacred time. Good deeds are being doubled and multiplied in so many folds. Similarly, sins will be doubled and multiplied because of the sacredness of the place and the time.
Thank you, Sheikh. I think we have a very strong understanding of ihram. We still have a lot more to cover with Hajj in general, and we'll do that and continue to do that in our next episode. Please stay tuned for that. We hope to see you then. I'm Musa McGuire. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.